It's Sunday school time, right? Was I supposed to say that? Peace and grace to you from Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. So I have a question for you. What comes to your mind when you hear the word transfiguration? Change, yeah. I asked the confirmation students, and they Googled it. They all have their phones with them, and in order to make the phones useful, I said, okay, well, if you Google transfiguration, you can play with your phones in class. And this is what they told me. Transfiguration is some of the most complex and dangerous magic you will learn at Hogwarts. Anyone messing around in my class will leave and not come back. You have been warned. These are words of Minerva McGonagall lecturing first years at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft. You know? Do you know where that comes from? Harry Potter. So one thing I learned, apparently Hogwarts is way more useful than seminary. For you too. So the popularity of the Harry Potter books is totally understandable. Canadian philosopher Charles Taylor says that we now seem to live in a world without any magic. The history of humanity, as you know, was full of magic. Throughout the ages, the transcendent and the mysterious was always woven all around the mundane and certain. That lasted just until a few hundred years ago, with an event. You know what happened then? It was the thing that kind of changed the magic. It was the Enlightenment. When humankind, when we discovered the scientific method, we no longer needed superstition and the supernatural because we had human reason. We now could look from our little sliver of history back to all millennia that went before us and to sort of sneer at their ignorance and superstition. It seemed in Western thought that we had finally arrived. There was finally nothing that physics or basic chemistry could not explain. We had what we thought humanity always needed, and that was answers. Incidentally, this was also when biblical fundamentalism came about. Since science was the most reliable way of knowing truth, then everything in the Bible also must be a scientific fact. For quite some time after we discovered science, we lived in what was called the age of progress. We looked only forward and never back. That which was old for the longest time was suspect. And we could improve our world and our lives through our own reason and our own cleverness. And I suppose that is good. But personally, I know that my own reason and my own cleverness only gets me so far in life. I need a story bigger than the story of me. I need a reality bigger than the one that I can understand. I need some transfiguration. Do you? In our gospel story for today, Jesus is transfigured before Peter, James, and John, and his clothes were bleached, and they became blindingly white, and suddenly he was talking to Elijah and Moses, and as you know, those guys had been dead for centuries. Well, Moses had been dead. Elijah kind of never did die, but he was taken into heaven on this fiery chariot. That's a different Bible story. For our purposes, we stay with the transfiguration today. But this story of Jesus transfigured on a mountain talking to Moses and Elijah feels magical, doesn't it? It's as though time ceased to be this neat straight line that was pulled taut with the present in its appropriate distance from the past and the future. Instead, it's like on the Mount of Transfiguration, this story, that line was all crumbled up with the past and the present and the future all touching for a moment. And then a cloud overcomes them, comes over them, and God says, "This is my beloved son, listen to him." It's really hard to comprehend, isn't it? It's hard. Can you imagine if you had been in that situation? So Peter says this, "It's good to be here," because he didn't know what else to say. He was terrified. And I think in the face of holy and unexplainable, what else is there for us to do? That, my friends, is the thing about God. The more we know, the less we know. The more God reveals God's self to us, the less certainty we have. So it is good for us to be here. Not so that we can get answers, because answers are too easy, and sometimes they can bring with them a certain arrogance, meaning that certainty can sometimes completely obscure mystery. What takes time is to have the story of Christ lived out in a community like ours, like St. Philip's, and transfigure us slowly, slowly, like a water forming a rock. It's good to be here. We are invited to be a people who are re-enchanted, not ignorant, not gullible, not superstitious, but re-enchanted. I personally want some magic. I don't know about you, but why else would you be here if you didn't seek something mysterious, something magic, something bigger than you are? Anyone who has been here at St. Philip's more than once has surely caught on that this is not a place you come to learn how to be a better person. We don't do a whole lot of moral instruction here. But what you do get here is stories of miracles and healings and forgiveness. And we get to remember one night a couple of millennia ago when Jesus had his last meal, and we get to gather around a table to share that same meal and remember the promise that God is always with us. And for a moment right here, the past, the present, and the future are all tangled up, and physics doesn't explain any of it. That's not to say that science and religion are so very separate. While we come here and touch the mystery of God, at the same time we get to celebrate the miracle of modern science and modern medicine. You know, a world that where stories like successful spine surgeries and brain surgeries happen. And if there is anything in this world that is worthy to be enchanted by, is it not how I already know through medical science that in my daughter-in-law's womb, there is a baby boy? That's amazing that we can know these things. We live in a world that's worthy of being enchanted by. And it is a wonderful part of wonderful to be part of a religion that is so physical that mystery and grace is found in things like bread and water and wine here. And I know for myself that I'm somehow much more comforted by mystery than by certainty. I kind of want to be speechless like Peter and a little terrified and to not know what else to say, but it is good to be here. I think we deserve some magic. And while you could dress up and go to Harry Potter's Wizarding World at Universal Studios in Orlando and feel enchanted for the cost of, I suppose, about $100 a ticket, there is something about the story that we tell here. The story of heaven touching earth on a mountain 2,000 years ago, which promises something no other story can. There is something about this table around which we gather every week that promises to be true in a way that myth and legend and fairy tale never can. It's real. The gospel is real. Heaven touching earth is real. The body and blood of Christ is real. And my friends, only this kind of realness can enchant the world again and again. So it is good for us to be here. Amen.